My name is Lorne McDougall. I grew up in Carradale. I was born, like many people of my generation, born in Glasgow, but my parents were both from... Well, my dad was from Carradale, many generations of McDougalls, and my mum was from Campbelltown. I was born in 1983 and continued to live in Carradale until very recently. Managed to get a place at university to study music in 2005, which is when I left for the first time, but always maintained some sort of connection and was always back basically once every few weeks throughout my uni years. But yeah, thinking back to growing up in Carradale, it's something that I've not really thought about, to be honest, but a few things sprung to mind about the people of the area when I was growing up was that there was a great relationship between all generations in the village. So like when I was at school, there wasn't a huge amount of people at school, but there was still enough. There was probably, I would say, about 10 people in each year. So we're talking about late 1980s, early 1990s. But I do remember being very pally with quite a lot of older people, and I'm talking about people that are, you know, my age now, and also, you know, people that were retired, and having really good relationships with them, and everyone being interested with what everyone else was doing of all ages. So I don't think it was just people being nosy, but maybe there were times that was the case. But I think the older generation were always very interested in what the younger generation were doing and what they planned to do with their lives. And I thought, just thinking back, that's something I only just clocked when asked to think back on it. And I think that's a lovely thing. I now am a professional musician, is what I say, but I do a number of things. I do everything that involves bagpipes. So I'll play at people's weddings, funerals, I'll do concerts, I'll do recordings, I'll do lots of teaching. And I think so much of that has come from being quite inspired by the village. Carradale's a very, very inspiring place musically. Growing up, I think I was subconsciously inspired by it. I would walk along the bay near enough every day, and I would connect the music I was listening to on my iPhone, iPod, CD player. I would connect the music that I was listening to what I was seeing, to the land, to the landscapes, and find other artists that have done the same thing, people like John Martin, Duncan McCrone, that have all been inspired by the area, and try and be as inspired myself to put the connection with the area and the love for the area into my music. I know that when I was maybe early teens, I didn't really have an intention to leave the village. I always thought I would be quite happy just getting a job, some sort of job that involved computers in Campbelltown probably, and I would be quite happy just to do that. But I was learning bagpipes at the time. When I was very young, I was dabbling in writing things, so I would write lots of stories. And again, these things were, I remember them always being very supported by older people in the village, local older people in the village. I used to go to a woman called Evelyn Stewart that used to live next to the memorial garden, and I would just turn up on her doorstep one day and go and ask her to tell me ghost stories. And she would, and that was fairly odd. But that sort of thing I remember happening quite a lot. So, yeah, I was quite a creative kid, but I didn't really have anywhere to put it. And then I started learning chanter at school. And it took me a few years to connect creativity with chanter. Because I don't know, if you know the chanter, it's not a very nice sound to begin with. And the actual bagpipe, the way of learning bagpipes is not that musical to begin with. And even once you get a bit more advanced, it's quite competitive rather than creative. You're aiming to be better than someone else, which didn't sit well with me at all. What I realise now is that you're actually trying to be better than your previous self is really the better way of thinking on it. But after learning pipes, and I got taught by a great teacher who's still talked about today called Tony Wilson. And Tony was the pipe major of the local band. He was also responsible for the bagpipe part in the song Mull of Kintyre. So a hero then and still a hero now. And Tony taught me, but I wasn't that interested. I would do it to get a new Super Nintendo game. I would say to my parents, my mum was quite gullible in this way, I would say that if I win this competition or if I get placed in this competition, can I get a new Super Nintendo game? And I would always use the term educational. I would say it's an educational computer game. And sometimes they were. Sometimes they were educational because I was creating things. You know, some games, you can't really even call them games, things like Mario Paint, if you think. If you have a look at what Mario Paint was as a Super Nintendo game, actually it was using techniques that I still use today. So inside the game Mario Paint, there was a little bit of it that you could write music. And a lot of the things that were going on in that little bit are still used today in what's called DAWs, which stands for Digital Audio Workstations, which is like your garage bands, your Pro Tools and things like that. So it was trying to get my parents to buy me things like that and then realising that that's creativity as well, the stories and stuff that I was writing myself, which thankfully are long gone. They'll never see the light of day. I was doing things like writing my own lyrics to karaoke versions of tracks and recording them. They're definitely gone, I hope. But one day I realised that actually this stuff that I've been learning that felt like an additional school period, basically, I could use that to play and write music myself. And that's when I actually started to really like playing bagpipes rather than, like I said, just have it as another period of schoolwork. And that made me very, very thankful to my parents that they persevered with me going to chanter lessons when I didn't really enjoy it. And sadly, Tony passed away in the, I think, mid-90s. And I went for a couple of years without lessons. And then I got a few years' lessons from Peter Ferguson, who's also a local piper in Campbelltown. And Peter introduced me to folk music quite unintentionally. He gave me a loan of a CD from a piper called Robert Matheson. And he was putting out CDs, cassettes at the time and vinyls at the time. I think maybe eventually CDs, but certainly the very first album he put out was on tape. Bagpipes and other musicians playing together, which I didn't realise was an option. I didn't realise you could do that. Another way that I heard this sort of music, funnily enough, was by listening to the radio. And in Carradale, certainly in the late 90s, I found two places that I could listen to traditional music. One was Radio Scotland, obviously. The other was Radio Ulster, because you can pick that up in Carradale, probably similar in Campbelltown. Of course, it's digital now, you can pick up everything. But I knew that on Sunday nights I could find traditional music on Radio Scotland, and I knew that on Thursday nights I could find it on Radio Scotland, and before that I could find it on Radio Ulster as well. So finding those different styles of music made the whole thing much more exciting to me, which then made me think about maybe made me enjoy it more, basically. And at the time when I was playing, so I went to Campbelltown Grammar School. At the time, there wasn't that much going on piping-wise, because Tony had passed away previously, so there was maybe 2 years when there wasn't a solid piping teacher in the school. So there weren't pipers, basically. I mean, I was teaching at school this week, and I had about 10 pipers. I've seen the band performing. It's amazing to see so many pipers now. But throughout the whole school, there was myself and another very good piper a year above me, and there were a couple of very good pipers coming up. But when I was at the high school, when I was fourth or fifth year, it was quite lonely as a piper. And the music department didn't quite get how to integrate bagpipes into other types of music. So that sort of thing led to me feeling quite misunderstood as a musician, which I think in turn led me to hope that that maybe I could get out there and be taken seriously as a musician as well. I mean, the school was great, but just the sort of understanding of traditional music there wasn't the way it is now, which thankfully has improved quite a bit. So, skip forward to the end of my school years. Again, I had no real intention of doing music as a job. It was just by chance that the Royal Scottish Academy of Music and Drama, as it was called at the time, it's now called the RCS, had just started a new traditional music degree, focusing on bagpipes. So they had a traditional music degree that was running for a couple of years prior to that, and this was their first year in bagpipes. So the careers advisor, with her head in her hands, just gave me this flyer and said, why don't you try doing this? That might be something that might be good for you. So I auditioned for that and got a place, which is where things sort of turned. And again, I think in a parallel universe, there is a version of me that's still in the town, quite happy, maybe playing in the local pipe band or playing in sessions. But because I got that leaflet, I then went and studied music for 4 years. And that was me leaving Carradale, but I still, because I had slightly older parents, I think I was quite aware of how much time I had left with them, which sounds really, really dark. But I think a lot of, most people my age, their parents are, you know, 20, 30 years or older than them. But in my case, they were 45, 50 years older than me. So I made a point of getting back quite a lot. And I think what that then helped me with was, and like I said, I never really intended to do a lot of the stuff that I did. What I felt that the village had that really helped me was some sort of consistency and something that didn't change. So if I was, you know, as I ended up doing, I would spent a year in America over 4 or 5 years. It was a comfort to know I could always just go home and it would be the same, it would be the exact same place. So I think that really helped me as a bit of a superpower to have that at the back of my mind to push myself and do things that I didn't think I would ever do. So I studied music for the 4 years. I met some great people, and for a couple of years I sort of tread water and did a bit of teaching and some wedding gigs. And then I sort of thought about taking things a bit more seriously, and then my mum passed away in 2008. And that made me think about how much time, money, effort my parents had put into my music, driving me to competitions, driving me to lessons. And then that made me think, you know, I probably could do this for a living. I love it. I'm in a good place in terms of the people that I know. So I then entered a competition called the Young Traditional Musician of the Year. And then I made a complete arse off it the first year, but I learned lots of lessons from that. Went back and got into the final of it 3 times. Never did win it. But the experiences of doing it 3 times was fantastic. And by doing that, I think that made more people aware of me, and then the work started coming in, and I was involved also with the Red Hot Chili Pipers. A good friend, Stuart Cassells, was my flatmate when the band were starting up. So through that gave me little bits of work in the studio, arranging and producing for them, which was another route that I could have taken that I really enjoyed. And also, I was always aware that that route was something I could do in Carradale. Technology at the time, I think we just got broadband in Carradale, so technology-wise, I could be working from Carradale, and if it was just arrangement stuff and composing stuff, I could do that there. So it was still in the back of my mind that maybe I could just live there. And that sort of was what I was doing for a while. And then I got a couple of really good teaching jobs. I was teaching in Tarbert for a few years. And more recently, within the last 10 years, I've been teaching in Oban and in Plockton, which is very far up northwest. So there are two great jobs that I love. And Yeah, so just going back to the sort of late 2000s, I started working in some film and TV stuff. And Stuart, who I mentioned with the Chili Pipers, he got asked to do to work out the bagpipe parts and to hire the bagpipers for a Disney Pixar film called Brave. Stuart sadly couldn't do it. Stuart was studying for a business degree in Boston in America, but also his fingers, he had a condition called focal dystonia, which meant that his playing wasn't quite up to standards anyway, so that was the reason he was changing his course, so he passed it on to me, which again was a very nice feeling to be sitting in that room in Carradale working on a Disney film and thinking, well, I could still just move here. And then I joined a band called the Tannehill Weavers, and they're quite an old band. They were established about 60 years ago. And again, something that I didn't think I would ever do was go on tour most of the year. And it's something that I did not enjoy at the time. No, that's not true. I enjoyed most of it. Some of it I really hated, though. But looking back on it, I'm really glad that I did it. I'm really glad that I did go and see some places. There was never any particularly obscure, mad places. It was just touring America and Europe. But I'm glad that I did it. And that was still with the other little bits of my work going on. So I was still able to teach. I was still able to do recording. I was still able to get on and perform and be taken seriously by people that I respected, which is pretty much all that I had been craving. And in 2020, so we're getting into pandemic time, of course, everything stopped and the studios closed. So I set up a studio in my bedroom in Carradale and managed to do little bits of remote recording, some things that were just, you know, rock bands from America. But there was a couple of things for Netflix, some stuff for Disney, that I got to do in Carradale. So I do like that thought. And that's something that I wish I'd known 10 years ago, that remote recording would be a big thing now. And maybe I would have a studio in Carradale now if I had the foresight and business sense, which is the two things that I lack. So there's a Welsh word that I've discovered that's called hereith. While it lacks a direct equivalent in English, its meaning is rich and evocative. At its core, it describes a deep and nostalgic longing for a time, place or person that may no longer be accessible. And I think that's sort of how I feel about the village these days. I miss the village that I remember, but I'm also glad to see so many good things going on in the village. Things like Maui is great for employment. The music festival is talked about worldwide now, and it's only been going a few years, and you know, people now associate. When I meet people through music and I say where I'm from, sometimes I say I'm from Campbelltown. Sometimes if I'm in England, I'll just say I'm from the Mull of Kintyre because it's easier, which is completely wrong, but it just makes it easier. And then if they go on and keep talking to me about where I'm from, I'll say I'm from Carradale. But many people now in the music business recognise Carradale for the festival, which is a fantastic thing for the village, and something that I've always talked about being a good idea, but of course never acted on for a long time. So it's great to see that Raymond and the team have got that going so well. But yeah, I think the village changes as life. People pass away, houses get sold, and it's like every time I go back, someone else isn't there anymore. And that's just life, you've got to accept it. But that is how I feel about the village, that it's not the village that's in my head. And that village is getting more and more distant. And for moving back, I think certainly I always imagined that I would. And with things with technology, you know, even in the last 6 months, playing together is now possible online. So I could be in Carradale with a guitar player in New York and a banjo player in Alabama and a drum player in Australia, and we could rehearse together. So with things like that, I think demand for staying in places like Carradale is going to get very high, and I certainly would love to be back in Carradale with my own little studio, making lots of money and spending it in the pub.